I'd like to address a deep fundamental question. Why do we daven three times a day? For health, our panasa, menuchas and nefesh, if it was all already determined in Rosh Hashanah. We say in the tefillah of Nisana Toikav, Rosh Hashanah yukasevin, Hashem decrees in Rosh Hashanah, mi yichya, who will live, mi yenuach, mi yenua, who will be at peace, who will be hassled, mi ya'ani, mi ya'asher, who will be enriched, who will be impoverished. The Gemara says in Sechtes Rosh Hashanah, that a person's panasa is ketzivin loy, it's fixed on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem decides how much a person will earn that upcoming year. So if that's the case, why do we have to go to shul to daven every day? Why do we daven the tefillah of Baruch Aleinu and ask for panasa daily if it was already determined in Rosh Hashanah? So it would seem that all of our tefillahs throughout the year are irrelevant. It's all unnecessary. So this week's parasha, Parshas Toldos, begins with the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. And they're married for 20 years and they don't have any children. And the pasuk says, Vayetar Yitzchak. What does that mean, Vayetar? So Rashi explains, the expression itar is when one pleads and beseeches Hashem in prayer. He's relentless. He's persistent. He keeps on davening over and over again. That is what Yitzchak was doing. But the question is, Yitzchak was already promised a child. Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Ki bi Yitzchak ikar el chazara. The chain of lineage, Avraham's legacy, will go through Yitzchak. So why did he have to daven that his wife should conceive? So I'd like to share with you a fascinating idea from the Maharal. He says, Hashem is the source of all blessings which come to this world. But the problem is, Hashem's blessings is all the way up there, and we are all the way down here. So in order for Hashem's blessings to descend on a person, there must be a conduit which connects the person to the heavenly source of brachas to facilitate that transfer. That channel is tefillah. When we daven to Hashem, it's as if we connect a pipe to the heavenly source that allows Hashem to bestow His bounty upon us. And that is why, even if Yitzchak was already promised a child, he still had to daven for it. And now perhaps you understand why we have to daven every day. Because even though Hashem placed all of our needs and wants in our bank account on Rosh Hashanah, however, we still have to go every day to the Parnassah Bank, our shul, and withdraw it. A person can have millions of dollars in his account, but if he never goes to the bank, he never goes to shul to make a withdrawal, he will live his whole life in poverty. Hashem has deposited all of our yeshuas in our account in Rosh Hashanah. All we have to do is show up in shul and ask for it. When we open up our siddur to daven, this is equivalent to putting in our bank card into the ATM machine. And apparently, there's a daily limit. So we have to come back tomorrow and do it all over again. The Meshech Chachma says, it's well known that it's essential for us to do a shtadlus for panasa. We must go to work and put in the required hours and utilize our God-given skills and talents to earn a livelihood. Says the Meshech Chachma, part of that shtadlus is tefillah. Tefillah is a necessary component for our shtadlus for panasa. We say in the davening of Yom Naram, Ishtadlu v'harbu t'chinam bakasha. The Chassidish Sfarim say, Ishtadlu, part of our shtadlus is v'harbu t'chinam bakasha, to plead and besiege Hashem in tefillah. And with that, I'd like to share with you an incredible story that took place a few years ago in Eretz Yisrael. There was a young couple that lived on the second floor in one of those apartment buildings in Yerushalayim. And on the first floor lived a couple in their low 70s who, Rachman Aslan, never had any children. Then one day, the wife of this elderly man passed away at age 71. And the husband remained all alone. So the young couple decided to take care of him as if he was part of the family. They shopped for him, they did his laundry, they took him to appointments, he ate by them every Shabbos meal, they took him along on Chalamoy trips. The children even called him Zaidi. This went on for 20 years. Then one day, when he was already about 93 years old, he became ill and was admitted to the hospital. Now that he was in a facility and taken care of, they only came to visit him once a week. There was a young man that lived in Bnei Barak, and his mitzvah was that he found out which Yidden were in hospitals that didn't have any relatives to take care of them, and he would visit them. So every day he traveled from Bnei Barak to Yerushalayim to visit this elderly man, and he spent 3-4 hours with him every day. After about 6 weeks, he asks him, Reb Zalman, do you have any valuable possessions? And he says, yes, actually, I own 3 apartments in Yerushalayim. So he says, that's worth a fortune. Did you write them over to anyone in a will? Because after 120, the government will seize all of your possessions. That's the last thing you want to happen. So he asks him, so what do you suggest I do? And the young man says, I have an idea for you. Why don't you write them over to me? And he says, sure. The next day, he brings two witnesses and legal documents and documents from a Beis Din in Bnei Brak. And the elderly man signs it all away to this young man in Bnei Brak. A few weeks later, this elderly man returns his neshama to his creator. After the Levaya, his neighbor from the first floor comes up to this elderly man's apartment, expecting to find a note where his neighbor, that he was so loyal to all these years, outlining all of his possessions that he would now inherit. He had a key to the apartment, so he tries to open up the door, but the locks were changed. He sees a note on the door, and it reads, "Anything pertaining to this apartment, please call this number." So he calls that number, and the man from Bnei Brak picks up the phone, and he tells him, "This is now my apartment." And they have a major argument on the phone. So the next day, this man from Yerushalayim, from the first floor, sends this man of Bnei Brak on his mana to the Torah. So they come to the Torah, and the man from Bnei Brak brings the two witnesses, and the legal documents, and the documents from the Beis Din, and the Din Torah took about 5 minutes, and they awarded this apartment plus the other two apartments to this young man from Bnei Brak. Ad kan ha story. What's the moral of the story? There's an expression in Yiddish, as man beit nish, ba kumt man nisht. If you don't ask, you don't get. A person comes up after 120 and he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, why did I have to struggle all my life with health issues? Why did I have to struggle with my children? Why did I have to struggle with Parnasa? And Hashem will open up this person's bank account and he will show him, over the years I deposited into your account nachas and health, and you wouldn't even believe it, hundreds of millions of dollars. But you never came to withdraw them. You never asked for them. You never came to shul to withdraw your blessings. And when you did come, you ran out of shul in the middle of davening before I had the opportunity to bestow my brachas upon you. So we should always remember, even if it was decreed, even if it was deposited into your account, there's no such thing as a slam dunk. You still have to daven for it. Because as man beit nisht, bekommt man nisht. So remember, ask and you will receive. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.